many class sizes, the current generation of students have a much easier road to navigate for an overall high quality and meaningful education. The economy is stumbling, in part due to government intervention and social engineering. Incomes are not keeping up with both inflation and the continual proliferation of tax and fee increases, including those assessed by the City of Portland. Now is not the time to increase taxes. Furthermore, a head tax is regressive. A person with a fixed or modest income pays the same amount as a person with high income. Likewise, it doesn't take into consideration what other financial conditions, obligations, responsibilities, or dependents a person may have. Moreover, there are privacy issues with how the city will determine who will pay and who will be exempt. Equity is absent. Second, having the city collect a portion of a tax specifically designed to be distributed to a very select number of nonprofit organizations is beyond the reach and scope of city government. It is an attempt to legislate what should be a choice by individuals, if or what organizations they freely chose to financially support. Where is the equity to all the other educational 501c3 organizations in Portland? Using the schools as a front to implement a tax to fund specific nonprofits is an attempt by this administration using other people's money to pick winners and losers. That smacks of socialism. Finally, it is up to the individual school boards to place a school funding tax measure on the ballot, not the responsibility of this council. Likewise, it is not the responsibility of this council to place a measure before voters to specifically fund their personal picks of nonprofit organizations. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, this tax proposal is actually out of order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Hi, welcome. No, you go ahead.
My name is Marianne Coggins-Kaza. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I'm a product of the Portland Public Schools music program. Over 60 years ago, I began my violin studies at Ainsworth Grade School in Southwest Portland, went on to Lincoln High School, and then to Portland State. I had the opportunity to audition for and won a position of the Oregon Symphony, where I survived for 42 years, just retiring last month. My late husband, Eugene Kaza, was a teacher and also a musician in the Oregon Symphony. He was a teacher at Grant High School and Wilson High Schools. We've been advocates of education of young people all of our lives because it produces civilized young people who grow into good citizens, those people who are capable of becoming leaders and good community citizens. I began the violin studies very early, but also found that it helped me in other areas of my school studies. I became interested in many other aspects of the community. I now serve as president of the Board of Directors of the Metropolitan Youth Symphony. I am on the executive board of Local 99, American Federation of Musicians, and president of the Music Education Assistance Project, the educational arm of Local 99. I have come full cycle of coming in as a musician, as a child, performing thousands of concerts, and reaching out to the young people in the school systems. I strongly believe that music education and arts belong to the young people of the future, and request that you support this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Bob Clark, Southeast Portland, active member of the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. We also oppose this new form of tax. We don't want to give the city another form of taxation that no doubt will be expanded for other uses beyond art and music in the future. But putting aside our grievances, I want to make sure councilors are clear. The language in this resolution implies this new city tax will be applied unfairly across citizens of equal merit. I cite the following language in section 5.73.02, quote, a tax of $35 is imposed on the income of each income-earning resident, unquote. I emphasize the resolution's use of the term income-earning. Many of us residents receive income each year, but we don't earn it according to the Internal Revenue Service. The Internal Revenue Service defines income earned as both wages, salary, and self-employment earnings. It excludes passive income such as pensions, Social Security, capital gains, and dividends, and other things like that. So you got some unclarity in this language here. Effectively, it also, like Commissioner Fritz raised the issue that a working family with two parents and two dependents may actually pay more than will pay more over the $100 per year than the $35. And the final point is, I think the resolution is overstating the amount of funds the new city tax will raise, because there's only about 600,000 residents and only 64% participate in the labor force, and another 20% are below 18. So you've got less than 300,000 residents, and that'll bring in less than 10 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Next four.
Okay. Oh, is there a Kevin Jones?
Let's go.
Okay. We'll go with Ellie Baldwin, Kim Herron, Frank Petrick, and Sharon Genasi.
Welcome. Glad you're here. You want to start?
Okay. My name is Ellie Baldwin. I have been a volunteer with CAN for about a year now. I graduated with a degree in art last May, and since then wanted to further explore the art community in Portland and met up with CAN. Art has been an integral part of my life for as long as I can remember. My father was the assistant principal based in the Oregon Symphony for a little over 20 years, and my mother is a pianist and a piano teacher. So growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of creativity. I was able to study music, go to symphony concerts, take art classes in painting and clay, and through high school and college, I was confident that the arts were where my professional interests lay. So I believe in CAN's work because I know how important creativity is to all learning and to building a rich community. I am privileged to have been able to explore my love of the arts, but not everyone has that opportunity. And I believe that creativity is an essential human need, and that everyone should have the opportunity to explore painting and clay and the symphony, not only those who have were fortunate enough to have had parents in the field like me. So that's why I believe that restoring arts and music for children and improving access to the arts for everyone in Portland is a step in the right direction.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Herron, and I've been a music teacher with the Portland Public Schools for over 30 years. And actually, Thomas was my student at Harriet Tubman Middle School. I applaud your actions today that will help ensure equity in arts education for all public school students in Portland. There seems to be some confusion or misunderstanding in some parts of our city regarding the importance of arts education. Let me assure you that both the federal and state government define the arts as a core academic subject. Core. That some folks think that they can determine which subjects are more important than others is a little like saying, would you prefer your respiratory system or your circulatory system? There is no distinction at the federal or state level regarding higher priority or lower priority subject matter. The arts are essential for us, all of us. All children deserve and need music and the arts in their lives. I don't need to tell you how brain development is augmented by musical training, or how communities are strengthened by the power of group experience, or how some kids stay in school because of their involvement in the arts. No, I know you know this. Kids can't wait. Their time is now. Let's do this. Let's make this happen for them, for us. Thank you.
Mayor Adams, council members, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Frank Petrick. I'm the director of bands at Sherwood High School in Sherwood, Oregon, and music advocacy chair for the Oregon Music Educators Association, and with Val Ellett on the board as well. I'm here today in support of Creative Advocacy Network and others in their efforts to ensure arts education for all students in the Portland area through the Arts Education and Access Fund. Music and arts education is essential for student success in our schools, workforce, and life in general. As you know, there are hundreds of studies which prove the importance of the arts in education, Many of these studies confirm a high correlation between arts instruction and increased math, language, and other disciplinary scores. Even with all this knowledge available about how music and art support student success, these areas of scholar are the first to be cut during tough economic times. Due to our current statewide education funding crisis, this year has proven to be the most devastating in regards to arts education cuts. As a music advocacy chair, I have been made aware of the severity of these cuts and regretfully share that numerous districts, like the Beaverton School District, has reduced music and arts programs by half. In my previous school district, Mount Angel School District, which serves a community with 21% poverty rate, has completely cut their 6th through 12th grade band program, in which I took 5 years to build a state championship band program. It is now gone. The rate of decline for arts education in Portland has equally been objectionable. In the last 5 years, many Portland area districts have also cut their music and arts teaching by half. These cuts in number of licensed educators lost in the classroom are staggering. Ultimately, our nation and state have great challenges at hand in regards to education reform, making music and the arts a priority. The Arts Education and Access Fund, supported by Mayor Sam Adams, Creative Advocacy Network, and many other notable supporters in a way, is a way for Portland to confirm their commitment to how vital music and the arts are for their students, community, and the creative future of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Sharon Genasi. I'm just here as a private citizen in Portland. I'm a documentary filmmaker. I grew up in Hillsborough, went to Hillsborough Public High School with a very strong art teacher. And I think this really made a difference in my life. I ended up eventually living in London, working with kids who hated school, and one of the ways they kept them in school was to work with a program, our program, in a community center where they produced videos of their own. And these are kids with no self-esteem. Nobody thought they could do it. And when they showed these publicly in the school and to parents and showed what they could do, it was a tremendous thing for them. And then I came back to the States, did much of the same thing here in the United States for a number of years, working a lot of times with kids who were having problems with schools. And they did wonderful thing with things with poetry and with all working this into the video. But the video was a wonderful tool to get to these kids. And I just learned through my own work and my own experience that this was absolutely a critical way to work, and in my case, with a whole segment of kids that nobody else could get to them through the regular curriculum. So I strongly urge you to go yes for this very modest $35 tax for something as vital as this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next four are Roxanne Nelson, Dunja Jennings, Aaron Barnes, and Liz Cannon. And they'll be followed by Ann Leithizer, Matthew Olson, and Michelle Fuji, and Kay Dickerson.
Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Hi, my name is Liz Cannon, and I taught English, Literature, and ELL at the Gresham High School for 7 years, and I'm currently a member of the CAN Action Board. Access to the arts changes the course of students' lives. I watched an isolated, quiet freshman find the drama department by accident his first year and emerge second semester of his sophomore year as an exuberant, confident performer with a kind and devoted group of friends. I received a hand-painted, handmade ceramic bowl from one of my migrant students upon his graduation from high school. He told me the main reason he came to school every day was that he wanted to use the clay and the wheel in the art studio. Art was essential to these students. And it is essential that access to the arts begin at the elementary level, when children are the most formative and the least self-conscious. Elementary students in Portland, regardless of income, should be able to try out different instruments until they find the one that fits. They should experience the power of singing in harmony with a group of their peers. They should have the opportunity to experiment with clay, paints, photography, pastels, so that they can go on to become the sculptors, the artists, the band members, the orchestra members, the cast members, the poets, and the dancers at higher levels, but also so that they can go on to become the creative and committed, well-rounded, and collaborative adults I would like to see in our city's future. Thank you for your time today.
Hi, I'm Dunya Jennings. I am a musician, a classical musician. I'm a music teacher, school teacher, and also parent of Portland Public School kids. I had a speech, but whatever. I'm not going to read off of it. You know why music and arts are valuable. You know the data. The data's been out there for years. We can't hide behind it and say that it's not important. We can't say that it is not. It doesn't involve both parts of a child's brain or that it hooks kids. We know all of this. But we forget that these children grow up to become adults. And I live in a part of town in southeast Portland where the kids have not had music for 3 or 4 years. And I decided to start some after-school music classes because I got sick and tired of my own children having everything available for them and my students having everything available for them, but these kids having nothing. High poverty, a lot of English language learners. We started an after-school class. We got 30 kids on the first class. We're doing free classes that go along with the free lunch program at Woodmere Elementary. First class, we had 15. Yesterday, it was mayhem. We had almost 40 kids show up. There is a thirst and a hunger out there. And Portland can do so much better. I was just at the Astoria Music Festival where I performed, and I calculated. People say that the arts don't contribute to an economy. It's not true. I got a paycheck. I actually spent more of my paycheck in the town, in Astoria. I got paid. I left my money there, basically. The other thing is most of the orchestra were not Portlanders. There were people from all over a lot of people from around the country. They were shocked. The Oregonian editorial had come to press, and so I was able to talk about it with people. They were shocked. A city as creative as Portland, as wonderful as Portland, it's embarrassing, sorry, what our schools have as offerings for all kids, especially the ones that need it the most. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Barnes. I am the high school music teacher at Lincoln High School. I've been there for 5 years after virtually no music program for over a decade. And now we offer band, orchestra, percussion, jazz, choir again, although it's been kind of hit or miss. We were the only high school marching band from Portland to perform in the Grand Floral Parade in the last 20 years. We did it 3 years ago, but we don't have marching band uniforms that fit kids, and we don't have enough uniforms for our kids. We're trying to get it off the ground again this fall. But the sources of income to make these things happen aren't coming from the city or the state or the school district or any kind of political organization. They're coming from private donors and corporations. And I find this to be most appalling when our students, all students, are entitled to an equal education. And like Kim Heron said earlier, the arts are core. But if kids are going to schools without arts, how is that equal? We don't need to talk again about how arts enhance your skills in math or science. Nobody has to go to the table and say, well, math is important so you can be an economist. It's understood. It's a paradigm shift that we need in our society, that arts aren't there to support other things. Arts are there. I encourage everyone to go home and turn off the radio while you're making dinner. Let's get rid of the mural. Let's get rid of the artistic map. Let's stop listening. Let's get rid of soundtracks and movies and television. Let's get rid of everything that makes us expressive and impressive. And let's just go to class and try it. Or we can go to school and learn about life. We can take these artistic opportunities and see how it parallels life. Why is sculpture made? Is it because we don't have it? Or is it because it represents something? Why do we put on plays, musicals, play concerts, ceramics, everything? Thank you.
The next four are Anne Lathesis, Matthew Olison, Michelle Fuji, and Kay Dickerson.
Welcome. Thanks for your perseverance. Would you like to begin?
I will. Good afternoon. My name is Ann Lighthizer, and I'm the mother of two young girls. Greta will be in third grade next year at Dunaway Elementary in Southeast Portland. Freya will begin kindergarten after one more year of preschool. Thank you for giving the community a chance to weigh in regarding the critical issue of restoring arts to our children's education. For the last 3 years, I have volunteered in many capacities for Dunaway Elementary. I'll serve as president of our PTA next year, in addition to serving on the board of our foundation, participating in numerous fundraisers, as well as teaching art. The Dunaway Applied Art Program is a 100% parent-run program. This program has been up and running for over 20 years and employs a volunteer base of 150 parents from year to year. Materials and supplies are paid for by the Dunaway PTA, which holds numerous fundraisers throughout the year in order to maintain this and other enrichments at our school. In addition to the funds raised through our PTA, money raised by our foundation helps to secure funding for strong music, library, and PE programs. I know this is not the case for so many other schools in our area. While I find it fun to teach art lessons that have been planned and written by fellow parents that were once art instructors, I am afraid I come up very short in this arena. And depending on a volunteer base this large is not realistic or sustainable in our future. But this is where we are today, and this is surely better than nothing, which is what so many of our schools and students are faced with today. I am here today on behalf of the students in our community and our community schools that do not have these enrichments. I feel that all students deserve something more than better than nothing.
And your time is up, but your final thoughts?
Having worked in a field for almost 20 years where creativity and innovation is critical, I feel that students who have arts in their education can will ensure that future generations are ready and willing and prepared to enter the innovation age right here in our backyard in Portland. Please support this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony, sir.
Hi, my name is Matthew Olson. I've been a fifth grade teacher the last 4 years at Beach School. Next year I'll be at Lent School. First, I'd like to talk about my experience. In elementary school, I distinctly remember singing Turkey in the Straw in second grade, distinctly. I distinctly remember learning how to play hot cross buns on a recorder. I can actually do the hand signals right now. And that went on, and jazz choir in middle school. Things just kept going from there. And let's not forget the administrators at the beginning. It was wonderful how they talked about how we can tie the arts to test scores, but let's not forget that the arts are fun. I have these vivid memories because they had an impact on me. Now, I'd like to talk about what I don't remember. I don't remember the standardized tests that I took kindergarten through, must have been 11th grade. I don't remember the SIM and the CAM tests I took in high school. I passed them, but I don't remember them. But I do remember arts education. I remember that. And I've been a teacher in Portland Public Schools for a while now, and it still surprises me that the arts doesn't exist in some schools. This year, my students did not have one music class, not one. So we're held accountable for reading, writing, math, science, social studies. Let's be accountable for the arts as well.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi, my name is Michelle Fuji. I'm the artistic director for Portland Tyco. Thank you very much for having today. Portland Tyco, if you're not familiar, is an Asian American drum performance group. We have a very, very active schedule in the schools through assemblies and residencies, hands-on learning where they learn about the art form and the connections of how the art form
can teach them about respect, cooperation, and perseverance. I know firsthand how the arts can open a child's world to creativity, imagination, and motivation. Through learning taiko, I've seen this experience in big ways and sometimes tiny ways. Some things that I remember is the one time in which a child, as we talk about our how our art form is a cultural history, and we speak of how our stories are able to be expressed through the drum. We encourage students to do that, and how a child who had just moved from Africa, who was so afraid to raise her hand and so afraid to ever speak up in class. When we invited these students, she felt so safe to actually speak for 15 minutes. And of course, that's quite long in a one-hour residency program, but she felt so empowered. And afterwards, the teacher said how they have to even arrange for her to raise her hand, and how through taiko, she was able to even say something longer than one sentence, which she's only able to do in a classroom. I think of another child who was of Chinese American descent, who opened up and told us about how he was getting bullied in his school. He had to move from one school to the next, and that he identified of being Asian American and telling his story. And we were able to identify that that was actually happening to him in his school at that moment, and able to open that story so that other people could help him in that school. In addition, I think of how many stories we have received about just the lessons of respect, cooperation, and perseverance, and I know that this is so important. $35 sounds very minute compared to what this platform can do for students and for their learning, and I hope that you will support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Kay Dickerson. I have a music education degree. I'm a Portland resident. I'm a member of the Get a Life Marching Band, an all-adult band. I'm also a member of a couple of other adult marching bands. One of the things that really upsets me is when we're in parades and the kids that are, if we even have high school bands and they're riding on platforms, and we're the old people and we're marching, I don't know, that just, you know, something strange.
Indeed.
Yes, I'm telling you. So I'm here on behalf of the North American Music Association today about why learn to play music. Research tells us that children who play music do better in school and in life. Playing music builds motivation and self-esteem. Music lessons boost your thinking skills. School music fosters your well-being. Learning music builds skills for the future. Everybody said they weren't going to tell you these things, but I'm telling you just so you don't forget. Music education helps young people feel inspired and motivated. So I think it's very important for music education to be a cornerstone of public education. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. So we'll have council discussion now. That gets us through the testimony. Commissioner Fish?
So could Eloise come up for a second?
Welcome, if you could introduce yourself for the record.
Eloise Damrosch for the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Hi, Eloise. Hi. I want to just sort of confirm something which I think is self-evident, but I want to just create a record around it. Portland, through Portland Parks and Rec, has a number of arts programs, Multnomah Arts Center, Community Music Center, Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, among others. And I just want to confirm that under this proposal, when these additional funds are available, they, like other nonprofits, would be eligible to apply for grant money, assuming they qualify in terms of the programmatic requirements.
Yeah, absolutely. The Arts Education and Access Fund is going to be available for all kinds of nonprofits to reach underserved audiences through the arts, as well as schools and it's a pretty open grant category. So they will be able to apply there as they do currently for project grants. And also, when you figure that the money that we're investing in general operating support currently will be supplanted by the CAN investment, then that liberates additional funds for larger and more project grants. So it's going to benefit those organizations as well as many, many in the city.
Thank you. Others? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fish?
Well, thanks to everyone for a very inspiring day of testimony. When I ran for office in 2008, I made a pledge that I would work with the mayor and the council to come up with a dedicated funding source for the arts. And here we are with the chance to refer this to the voters. And so I'm very pleased to do so. I was listening to the stories about my colleagues and their high school years. I'm actually surprised they are so old. I mean, 70, 72. I mean, I was the bicentennial class. I had no idea that I was the baby of this panel.
You're not. I just look like hell.
But I was just remarking on my high school experience, and I remember that I did not have a laptop or an email account or an iPhone. But I do remember I had PE, art, and music. So I am old enough to remember when this was part of the curriculum.
Yes.
And I did not become a great artist or a great musician or a great athlete. Some would say probably not a great politician either, but a beat to the punch. But the
you're good.
What I have learned is that because of the wonderful teachers that I had when I was younger, they planted the seed with me that later in my life caused me to become passionate about jazz and about painting and about theater and about the things that unites us today. The way human beings express themselves through the arts. And that really would not have happened had I not had those role models and those early experiences. And so it's wonderful that, you know, for every Thomas Lauderdale who graduates from Grant, there should also be a Nick Fish who is not, will never be known as a noted musician or artist, but has the joy of experiencing the best of what we have to offer and in my own way appreciates things about arts and culture and heritage that are unique to me. So we want to teach the whole child, as someone said, which I thought that was very beautiful. And we know that through these investments, we have a better community. So what we're asked to do today is simply to pass this on to the voters and let them make a judgment. Well, I'm very pleased to do so. And I want to join with all of you in thanking the mayor for the leadership that he has demonstrated over 4 years on this subject. We would simply not be here without that leadership. I've been very proud to play, if you will, a second seat on that, and I will continue on the council to be a strong supporter, but this is a proud day. And so I am pleased to say thank you, Sam, thank you, Jessica, thank you, CAN Board, and thanks to all the people in this room who are so passionate about what I think is one of the great things about Portland. Now and hopefully in the future. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
And you are a good politician, Commissioner Fish. So how did we get here? So we're having a debate today about whether or not to restore arts and music in school. And the other debate that's happened in the community, how do we restore sports and athletics in school, and other debates in the community, how to restore shop in Portland schools. We got here, and the timeline and the line to this place is very bright and clear. In 1990, the voters passed Measure 5. Measure 5 put a $5 cap per thousand on the amount schools could get from property taxes and a $10 limit on the amount that local government could get. The funding for schools, therefore, shifted to the state which is obligated under the state constitution to provide a common system of schools. And because of that requirement, they now use income tax that otherwise went to fund parks and state police and other state programs such as prisons and programs at the county level to help the elderly and the poor and people with addictions and mental health crises. All those funds now go to fund schools. That's how we got here. It got worse in 1996 when the voters passed Measure 47 and the legislature made that so that it would actually work and sent out Measure 50, which replaced 47, and that passed, thereby limiting the amount per year that even that smaller amount of property taxes we could get would grow. So for 22 years, this debate has been dominated by the voices that say public education should not be funded at the level some of us think it should because they think it's overfunded. And they have defined themselves not by what they're for, but why what they are against. The voices for public education that have argued, for instance, in the legislature, I worked with then Republican Speaker of the House, Lynn Lundquist, when I was a member of the Oregon State Senate, and he and I co-sponsored a radical bill that would have taken all of the kicker money and dedicated it towards education. He couldn't get the votes in the House, even though he was a Republican elected speaker, and I certainly couldn't get the votes in the Senate in a legislature dominated by Republicans. So we have become a state that has had our options for education defined by those who tell us what we can't have. And sure enough, yesterday I'm driving in and I'm listening to Speak Out Loud, which is a program on OPB in the mornings that discusses local topical issues. And they were discussing this subject and who was the person that they had on explaining why it was a bad idea? Don McIntyre, the original author of Measure 5. And it just struck me that Don, in many ways, and Bill Sizemore, who's worked with Don, have succeeded at a number of levels. And I have to, and I just regret having to say that when I read the Oregonian editorial that opposed this measure, I just felt like they had succeeded in defining for the state of Oregon, and even the most well-intentioned of us, including our friends at the editorial board, what's possible for public education. And the possibilities have become dimmed by the Don McIntyres of this state. So I even had a discussion with a friend of mine who told me that while he was for public education and for funding education more, he opposed this $35 income tax charge because, according to him, it was regressive. And, you know, a long time ago, I learned to quit having discussions about abortion and religion and even in some places, politics, because it's just like beating your head against the wall. And so what I thought, instead of what I said, what I thought was, well, what do you think happens when people buy the tags for their cars? What do you think happens when people pay their property tax now? They don't, I mean, Multnomah County doesn't care if you're out of a job when your property taxes are due and it's $4,000, pay. So I've gotten myself to the place where I'm less concerned about the nuances of a particular proposal. I am heartened that I'm here working with a mayor who actually has a proposal. He's actually risen above those who have said why we can't do something and said, here's something we can do. I find that after having been either in the legislature or here for now 20 years, shockingly refreshing. And I can't wait to vote for $35 a year to help fund arts and music in the schools, because it's something. Somebody has come up with an idea, and it's something. And if somebody else comes up with another idea, I'll vote for that, even if it steps on some other principle of taxation that I might hold dear. Those are secondary issues now, because the bigger issue is, and has to be for all of us, that we can't let our school system become so driven down and so downtrodden that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that education in this state isn't good enough. And the irony is that this argument over the last 22 years has actually created what it is they said that wasn't true in the first place. They've created that. And some have actually bought into that. So I'm very impressed with Sam on a number of levels. There, you know, he, for a variety of reasons, for this next 6 months, could be just administering his bureaus, and nobody would second guess that. He shows up early, he stays late, he produced a budget. He could do that and check out. But instead, he's chosen to lead. And from where I sit, I've served with three mayors, I've served with different governors, I've served with some of the brightest people that this state has produced over my career in one capacity or another. He has stepped up time and again on a number of issues, this being just the latest example, to produce what he thinks is right for the citizens of Portland. And I appreciate it. And it's, you know, I wished I could just do something more than just vote aye. But that's what my role is here, so that's what I'll do. Aye.
Fritz. Commissioner Leonard and I sometimes have some disagreements, but on this we are completely in agreement. And my first son entered kindergarten the year after Measure 5 passed, and we had music at Markham Elementary School, and we had band in Jackson Elementary School, and now they don't. And it is the legislature's job to fix it. The student who did that beautiful poem for us performed at the UPSET rally. UPSET is underfunded, parents, students, and educators together. And I urge you to go to their website, join their next rally. Enough is enough. We need adequate, stable school funding for all core curriculum elements in Portland's public schools and throughout the state. Not only the six school districts which will benefit from this measure if the voters choose to pass it, every school district in Oregon is suffering at this point, and it's not okay. We in Portland will do what we can do on this measure, and I'm proud to refer it to the voters, because the adult voters will choose whether the adults want to pay it or not, and that's how it should be. It's urgent, though, and the whole system needs to be fixed, and there's no more excuses. The legislature is responsible for referring something to the voters, and I hope they will do it next year to pass comprehensive school funding reform, so that we don't continue to cut and cut and expect our wonderful educators to do more and more with less and less, and to expect our students to do more and more with less and less. I believe that with all my heart that Portland's public schools are still wonderful places. We've got the David Douglas High School Band. I went to Pirates of Penzance at Madison High School this past year. Absolutely phenomenal. And in many different areas of our city, educators, parents, you know, it was mentioned that parents are volunteering to provide some of these services, but this measure provides certified arts and music teachers. This is educators, people who are trained to educate, not parent volunteers like I was for 17 years, doing our best to fill in the gaps. Enough is enough. And we are taking a step here today to move forward with that, recognizing that arts and culture in Portland is more than something that is of value to our hearts and souls. It's part of our economy. 8,529 FTEs, full-time equivalents, $253 million industry. That's big bucks in our community, and it fosters our creative arts community, the film industry, the other associated technology industries that come to Portland, because we are that hub of creativity, that Florence on the West Coast, that makes us a special place. And we're not going to let go of that special place. I pledged when I came on the council that the public schools will not go down the tubes on my watch. And this is... I appreciate the Portland Association of Teachers who've worked closely with the mayor on this measure and all of you who've participated in this partnership. It's a true partnership, the Regional Arts and Culture Committee, the Creative Arts Network. We're all in this together and we recognize that. And so I'm very proud to vote to refer this to the voters, and I hope to be here next year to also continue implementing the arts programs here in Portland and to continue to push the agenda at the legislature. That's where the core responsibility lies. Let's work together to pass adequate, stable school funding for the whole of Oregon after we get this one done. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for their very kind remarks. You need to know, though, that this city council, just in this past year, and the bridge funding, one-time funding that we were able to give schools across the city and all the districts, that was a lot of work, and that this council stepped up and made that happen. What we're voting on today is, you know, we're sort of beginning to, instead of it being a plank, this at bridge will actually have the opportunity to land on the other side. This does not solve the school funding problem. This is a focus on 5 to 10-year-olds in elementary school from kindergarten to fifth grade who now are treated, whether we want to admit it or not, like building robots on some sort of conveyor belt. And we forget that these are little kids who deserve to have what most of us, as you've heard and in this room, had the opportunity to be infused with the humanity and creativity and the critical thinking and the relationship building that comes with arts education at the earliest age. So it's time to start treating our very young, vulnerable kids the way they should be treated, and by providing basic, not luxurious, but basic arts and culture in our elementary schools. So I'm very proud to be part of a city council that's putting this on the ballot. I'm very proud to be part of this community effort that helped get us here. I want to especially thank Carrie Clark and Tommy Douglas Anderson, the folks at the Bureau of Revenue, again, the folks at CAN, the great Regional Arts and Cultural Council team, and Jennifer and Amy. Our work now begins. Thank you. Aye. And we're adjourned. Thank you very much.